Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Celebrity 3 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here today with some fantastic guests to talk about this very, very short season of Celebrity Big Brother. First with me is Asia. How are you doing, Asia?
I'm doing well, Taryn. I'm very excited to talk about the final six. And then, you know, this very short season that we are having. The joke there is that there are 9 people in the house, but 3 aren't playing. So just so y'all know.
Yeah, just so we get it.
Also with us, of course, is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
Oh, you know, I'm doing well. It is weird that this is like, it feels like, oh man, this is one of the last roundtables, because it is, but it also was the first roundtable. So I feel like I'm totally off. I'm very confused. But yeah, hopefully it won't go as long as the typical first roundtable, which ends up being like 4 hours long because we have to rate every single player. Now we don't have to. So, you know, that's good, I guess.
Yeah. It is strange. We've never really done a proper roundtable stock watch sort of thing for Celebrity Big Brother. The last season was too long ago.
Really?
I mean, we did roundtables for them, but we didn't have like the stock watch game going on. So we'll
see. It is weird.
How the game works. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about it today, like trying to figure out what I wanted to do for my ratings. And I feel like I'm like, do I rate this as if it's a normal Big Brother season? Mm-hmm. Like, do I rate the house guests as if it's normal, or do I rate the house guests as if it's like a celebrity season? So it's very different. Cause like, you're not going to get the same level, or at least I'm not expecting the same level of gameplay as you would on a classic Big Brother season with celebrities, you know? So am I going to be like, oh, this person gets a 9? And it's like, well, obviously they're not like a 9 in a regular season, but celebrity. Because otherwise, I mean, I feel like I'm going to be rating everyone like really low. I don't know.
Yeah, when I was thinking about my ratings, I was like, there's no way I can rate them like a normal season.
Right.
These are celebrities.
It's like, okay, 2, 3, 1, right. Like to everybody's that low. But then they're like, are we going to keep this on a separate like plane as the other ones? Or in the end, are we going to be like, oh, turns out that Chris Kirkpatrick is the top 3 Big Brother player of all time or something like that, you know? It's like, I was trying to figure out like, how do I do this?
It will be weird, and we may have different approaches. Who knows? But we are here, of course, to talk about everything that happens here on the Celebrity Big Brother live feeds. I'm consistently non-consistent when it comes to whether I say Big Brother Celebrity or Celebrity Big Brother, but everyone's just going to have to deal with it because I'm used to saying Big Brother, and by the time right. I do that, it's like, well, now I got to say Celebrity. Here we are. Let's talk through what we have, what we missed, what we've seen up to this point. And then, of course, we'll get into the ratings, where we will be rating every player based on how well we think they're doing in the game. There is a survey out. If you find me on Twitter, I tweeted it out You can fill out the survey. You can rate the players yourself based on game. There are also lots of other questions like who your favorite players are, and who you think people will vote for at the jury and rating the episodes and all kinds of stuff. So make sure you go and fill that out. You have just a little bit of time left if you want to do that. If you're watching live, if you're listening after the fact, then no, it's too late. Right. You missed your one shot. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the week here, because it's such a weird structure of a season, because Misha won the first HOH and she was HOH for roughly 10 days. And then Kirkpatrick was HOH for 3 days. And now Misha has won HOH again and will be HOH for about 4 days, which means close to 17 days in, which is over half the days in the game, Misha will have been HOH for 14 of them, which is 2 weeks out of like a roughly just over 3 week game, or close to it, which is quite strange here. And, Misha is top dog.
Yeah, it's wild. It's even hard for me to picture her in the downstairs bedrooms, because literally most of the time she's been HOH. And so it's just like, I just have a hard time understanding why they did it like this. And I know some normal seasons, they do this long HOH at the very beginning, but with celebrities, we could have at least had one person gone at this point. Or like by the point that the season premiered, like if you're going to have them in the house for 10 days, at least have an HOH, go through an eviction. Like they don't care that they're not on the live feeds. Like they're not doing this for the live feeds. That's not the appeal. So it's just so odd because, I mean, I know people have mentioned it, but it's just like her being HOH for that long for such a short season, that's shaping the game. Like that's the structure. Like I know that, we're going to get into the details of what happened, but it's just like, it's too much time, just way too much time.
It's a lot of wasted time too. It feels, I mean, they spent 10 days, the feat started on day 9.
Doing what though?
Yeah.
That's like, the thing is like, it wasn't even like the first episode or whatever was that thrilling that it was like, oh, I get it. Like they had so much going on, all these things. It's like, they're probably just hanging out, like getting to know each other. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it makes any sense to wait that long when they're on such, they have the celebrities for such a limited time, like, make use of it,
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody else felt this way, but like Thursday, obviously we didn't know that the feeds were coming up. So I was recording for Married at First Sight. And then once we finished, the feeds were up. And at that point, I already felt like I was a month behind. I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I feel like everybody is already caught up to what the state of the house is. And it's just like, why are we so, we shouldn't be this confused. And then on top of that, dropping feeds every couple of minutes, it's hard to sit and watch feeds. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I don't know. I guess maybe, only the people that are like us are feeling a little bit like, what's happening? Like maybe I would love to see a casual's perspective of this season so far and just how it's laid out. Like, are they enjoying it?
My mom's pretty bored. She said. I mean, there hasn't been that many episodes, but she's kind of just like, oh, well, we haven't watched this week, so we're going to get caught up this weekend. Like, they're not, it's not like must-see TV. Like, we need to know what happens. They're kind of just like, well, we'll see it when we see it, which is not really a good sign. And like, speaking of feeds, it just feels like not much is going on the feeds. You get like one good conversation and then everything else is just like, it's not even like, I feel like the first season of Celebrity Big Brother, at least, like, there was fun, like, large group conversations where, I was like listening in on their stories of like being in the business or like, how they got their start or like them making jokes and laughing with each other. And like, I had a great time just watching a lot of like Ross and Marissa. Like, I know people thought Marissa talked a lot, but I enjoyed watching Ross and Marissa like interact on the feeds and all that. And I had a really good time. Especially like you've got like Omarosa in there, Brandi Glanville, like you had all these big personalities who would just like make you laugh and just entertain you. Whereas I feel like this season, not that the personalities aren't great, but that a lot of the time it's just a camera following one person doing a task, like doing a menial task. It's like somebody is like cooking or like somebody is, brushing their teeth and it's just the camera like on them just brushing their teeth or like Carson's baking, which is great and all, but it's like, we're just watching somebody just stir something up. And it's like, there's no like, where's like the conversation? And then you finally will get one conversation that's one-on-one, two people talking, and then you get like a few minutes of it. It keeps cutting in between. And then so you're kind of like trying to play catch up in this conversation that you've been listening to. And then, you know, that conversation ends and then it's back to, you know, someone lying in bed or, you know, someone making the bed or, you know, cleaning their little area. It's like, it's fine and all, like if people want to watch people make the bed or clean something, that's fine. But that's not why I watch the feeds. And so they've been pretty, pretty dull for me so far.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem is that like the past two, we really enjoyed them interacting with each other. And by the time the feeds came up this time, they've done the pleasantries. Yeah, they've done the fun stuff. Yeah. Now it's just like, all right, getting to know you.
Yeah. And that's the thing also is like a lot of the people watching this year are saying like, well, I don't really know any of these celebrities. They're not recognizable, whatever. Or like, you know, I'm not familiar with them. And so it would have been nice to see them talk about their lives, their work, like what they're known for, you know, who they are. So that way we would kind of feel more connected to them. And I feel like at this point, what Asia said was right, is that they've already done that. We missed it. Sorry. And they're not going to rehash it. So we're really not going to know like what they're about. And that's that. We're just going to watch them clean.
Yeah. So props to you, Taryn. I don't know how you do it every day, but bravo. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I can't say there's a lot of passion here for the live feeds, at least. I do think the episodes have been pretty decent. I think the worst one was the Friday 2-hour. They didn't have enough content for it. But even that one had some good moments. I think it's telling that the best moments on the episodes are less the contestants actively intentionally being funny and more like kind of laughing at them in a way, which, you know, I think is not necessarily mean-spirited. You know, like Chris Kattan going to get some cake, like we're laughing silly. At it because it's also like very relatable, and stuff like that. But
or like stumbling around in the dark, relatable. Like I feel like all of this stuff is not like, oh, wow, that's embarrassing for them. Let's laugh at them. It's like, oh my God, I've done that same thing. Like,
but yeah. But I think it's telling that like the best person we've got in terms of like actively being entertaining because they're telling jokes and they're being charismatic is Carson in the diary room. And he's good. But he has very little interaction with anybody else in the house. It's just him in the diary room because in the house on the things, he's just kind of laying in bed all day. And that's what we're seeing on the feeds. There's so little activity going on often.
Yeah. And so even with like great personalities or people we like Carson and Cynthia, we like them together, but a lot of their conversations are like, oh, well, I was thinking I would make this for dinner and I really love making this sort of recipe. Like, what do you think? Oh, and you know what's actually really good is if we put mustard in the thing and then they're just like planning out their meal and it's like, you know, we like them and it's like, you know, good to have them in the house together. We like their friendship, but it's like, there's only so much you can watch of people like planning out their meals or planning out what they're going to do for the rest of the day or like talking about like face masks or whatever before it's like, okay, like this isn't super entertaining for me.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think it's just in general, it's kind of a snoozy cast. I think there are one too many players that just don't care about the game. I think that's so important because, you know, when the feed started and it seemed like it was going to be a very hectic season, it was like, ah, these players are terrible, but that's great. But it's like, it's okay for players to be terrible. The key is that they need to care. They need to be invested. And there's very few people in that house that are invested. Todrick is the most invested and like to the point where everybody hates him because he's too invested. Misha's invested. Shayna's invested. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of it. I mean, you know, Carson and Cynthia to a small degree, they have some level of investment. Kirkpatrick obviously cares, but he's very quick to kind of be like, ah, screw it then. Mm-hmm. And you know, Todd, I think, cares in his own way, but it's a very sort of tangential thing. And so it's very, it's this very kind of like, they're just letting it play out. And we got close to something on Monday, obviously. But then they backed off. They decided not to. In Big Brother Celebrity One, both Monday blindsides were ruined by people that wanted to quit. And we thought that was the true extent of like, you cast the wrong people because mm-hmm. two people quit and it ruined two blindsides. This season we had a blindside ruined, not by a quit, even though there are plenty of people that wouldn't mind quitting, but because they were just like, ah, never mind.
Yeah, I feel like you really got to get people who care and want to play the game. And I know that's hard with celebrities, but I feel like I'm kind of looking for something else with celebrities where it's like, at least if you don't care about the game, be entertaining, like want to entertain us. And I feel like we don't have that either. So even if we had at like first thing would be like top priority would be like, we want people who want to play the game. Like that would be great. Well, if we can't have that, at least let's have people who want to entertain us. Like even if they're maybe not, they don't care if they win or not, they at least want to keep it entertaining or at least want to provide good TV. Well, we're not having that either. So at this point, I don't really know what's going on or what we have to like be excited about, to be honest. And I feel like I'm also giving this season like a lot more leeway than I do for normal seasons, because it is celebrity and I'm not expecting great gameplay, but I'm at least expecting some gameplay or some like, you know, care about it. I don't know. I feel like, and that's part of the reason why I'm glad that the Todrick backdoor thing didn't work out, because I mean, imagine if we kick out all the people who are interested in playing, we're just left with people who literally don't care. And they're just going to be like, okay, so who wants to go? I guess you want to see your family probably. So I'm just like, can we put you up? Like, I feel like that's what we're going to be left with. So at least like, let's kick out the people who don't care. I'm fine with that. And I get like, okay, Lamar, Chris Kattan, like they're entertaining or whatever, but like, I don't really care. So like, I mean, if they don't want to be there, then that's fine. We can kick them out and let's keep the people who actually want to be there and want to play. And then at the end, you know, we at least have a showdown between like the four people that are interested in playing. And like, I don't know, maybe that's the way this should go, but I don't know.
I'm usually so entertained by the strategy of it all, right? And so when the season started and the feeds came out, I was like, okay, well, we're not getting that much, like obviously not the level of a regular season. So then I was like, you know what? Let me just dive into the people that I'm entertained by. But it sucks that the people that I'm entertained by don't want to be there. I'm so entertained mm-hmm. by Chris Kattan. I'm so entertained by Lamar. I am so entertained by Todd. Like, it put the feeds on them, but where is Chris Kattan on the feeds? We never see him. The most I've seen him is on the episodes. And I've enjoyed that, but I'm like, I would love just following him around the house at this point. I mean, if that's what I'm going to watch on feeds, that's what I would prefer. So it's like, those three keep me entertained, but they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think part of the problem is that like, even on a normal season, when we're annoyed that it's people who just want like Instagram followers or whatever, they usually like want to stay as long as possible in order to get more following. So maybe they don't care about ending up like winning the game, but they are interested in staying. So if they're told like, you're going to go home, they're like, no, I need to stay longer so I can get followers or whatever. And in this situation, like they don't care about that. I think they just wanted like the stipend they get for like walking in the door. So they're like, okay, I got that money. I showed my face. What else is there really? And so I do think that like, that's part of the issue is it's not just people who don't really care about the game. They don't really even want care about being there or lasting a long time. They just want to kind of go home, some of them. And you know, it's not great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Carson and Cynthia were joking about how little they were making per, like it was like $5,000 per week, the stipend of like every week you stay, you get another $5,000, which to them was kind of like, that's not nearly worth staying here for.
Well, the rumor is that they got money initially for showing up.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, obviously, but I'm assuming it's like a large amount they get for just like coming on the show. And then for each week you stay, you get like the $5,000 a week or whatever it is. And then obviously winner gets a certain amount of money, whatever it is. I don't know anymore. And so I think that that's probably like they've gotten that initial stipend. They probably don't think they're going to win. And so that incremental $5,000 a week is like peanuts at that point. Right. So it's like, well, forget that. I'm just going to go home.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. I think the good thing about it is that it is so short that, even if it does end up being a dud, like that's kind of fine. You know, my expectations have never been high for a Celebrity Big Brother season. I think the only reason I was expecting a little more out of this one is because the previous two I felt were pretty good, and pretty exciting. And so the fact that this one has been a little snoozy is disappointing, but it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's going to be over in a couple of weeks. And then a couple of weeks after that, Big Brother Canada's going to start. So it's not like we're stuck in this house for another, you know, 85.
Oh, thank God.
Can
you imagine?
Okay.
I feel like that's why we're kind of like still upbeat, even though it's like we're bored. We're just like, you know, like whatever, let's talk about it. Let's have fun with it because we know it's about to be over. Whereas like, yeah, if this was supposed to be for the next 3 months or whatever, I would be so checked out. I'd be like, are you serious? I have to talk more about this.
Ugh. Yeah, it's like we're at Olive Garden. We have the breadsticks. It was really good at first, but then now like we're ready for the entree, which is Big Brother Canada. And it's just like, okay, you can only eat breadsticks for so long.
Yeah, I think part of it too, like this is usually when we go over the events of the things in the house and we talk about like the validity of certain moves that were made, but it's like, what are we really talking about?
There's literally nothing.
Yeah, like we know the formation formed and then it dissolved, and like, was it a good move for Todrick to switch over? Like, I don't know, kinda. But he kind of screwed up the pulling it off because he got caught, and then he got in some trouble. But he's doing all right now. And nobody's playing like if I'm rating these house guests on a normal scale, and maybe I will, maybe I won't. Is anybody even above a 5?
No.
I don't think so.
Maybe Shanna or Shayna.
I do think Shayna has potential, but I don't know that I've fully seen it yet. So it's
right. Like, she hasn't done anything. So like, it's mainly just us thinking like, well, she maybe.
Exactly. It's being like, surely there's one player. Surely she's good.
She has to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I do think it's funny that your two draft members and my two draft members are each like the two working together sides that are opposite each other. Because I've got Shayna and Chris Kirkpatrick, and you have
Misha
and Todrick. Yeah, that's so it's kind of funny that our two like people are like at odds.
does someone have both Cynthia and Carson?
No, I don't think so.
Split up.
No. I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember what the other team were. I just know that you mentioned it this morning.
Rob has Carson, and he also had Teddy. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I think Puya had Mirai and Lamar, and so that leaves.
So I think Amon had Cynthia, and he must have also had. Yeah.
Yeah. That must have been what it was. So yeah. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. I think it might come down to a showdown between our two.
All right. Well, let's talk about the biggest thing. So obviously, I think we've talked to death the whole what happened between Mirai and Kirkpatrick. I think I saw a Hamster Watch tweeted out that Mirai's exit interviews have been delayed until like Thursday, which honestly didn't surprise me too much. I think between Mirai kind of being not in it, and Big Brother perhaps being like, okay, she needs a little bit of media training here for first. Like, this is what you're allowed to say. This is what you're not allowed to say. We may or may not hear more about this from Mirai. People may be instructed to not ask at all. And even if they do, I doubt we'll get a straight answer because they really don't seem to want to let out exactly what happened. But whatever it was that between her and I think that's another big sort of like weight on the season, is that that's such a formative event in the season's sort of course of history, and we still don't really fully understand what happened and why, but that happens, and the main storyline here is that formation happened, but Todrick drifted to to Misha. Misha tried to build something in her first HOH. She didn't really lock it in. She's not a super social player. So by the time Kirkpatrick won his HOH, the house kind of turned into three duos and then the rest. And the three duos were Kirkpatrick and Shayna in the middle, Misha and Todrick on one side, Carson and Cynthia on the other side. You kind of had Todd, Lamar, and Mariah all on the Misha and Todrick end of things, with maybe Catan on the other side of things a little bit, but not really. And so Kirkpatrick decided that he really wanted to try and play the middle. However, just at the last minute, he thought about maybe making a big move and taking out Todrick on the other side. Ultimately decided against it, but a lot of people in the house know that it was a plan that could have happened. Nobody seems to be ratting that out at the moment, but you know, it's still out there. The vibes are certainly out there, as Todrick today has been very anti Kirkpatrick. He is not feeling Kirkpatrick's vibes. He's like, I'm not feeling this guy anymore. And plenty of other comments. So Misha wins this next HOH, and we're now in a spot where she's likely going to target Carson until something else happens. Like, either he wins the veto, or maybe this info gets out. Maybe Kirkpatrick could somehow end up in the firing line if this information got out. But for now, it seems like this is still the course of events. And it really does feel like it doesn't even feel like Carson and Cynthia are that in it. And, you know, it really does feel like the game is going to come down to Todrick and Misha versus Kirkpatrick and Shayna. And certainly somebody else may sneak in and steal a win out of nowhere. But in terms of controlling the game, this is where the power seems to be. And so that's kind of where we are, Asia.
And I don't think there's I don't think there is a chance that those two duos don't go after each other before they take a shot at Cynthia and Carson, because it's like, if you have the opportunity, why not go for it? And so I think in that type of situation, because it's already, you know, they're at 9, one of them is bound to win HOH again, depending on what Misha plans to do. I think that if they do go after each other right now, that is just paving the way for anybody else to go all the way to the end. Cause their focus is on the wrong people, right? They know who's in it and who's not. They know who's talking game and who's not. And so I think that who's wasting an HOH on Chris Kattan? I mean, who is sitting beside Chris Kattan? They're like, we've got to send out Chris Kattan. Is it Lamar? Who's putting Lamar and Chris Kattan on the block together? You know? So I think at this point, you know, even though those two duos are, you would think they would be going to the end because they are the ones that are playing, I think it's still kind of early in Celebrity Big Brother world, and they're going to try to take the shot now, only leaving everybody else to be able to just scoot their way to the end.
Well, I think the thing is, like, who is everyone else, right? Like, imagine a world where Carson goes out this week, Todrick wins the next HOH, takes out Kirkpatrick, and, like, now you just have to beat Shayna. Let's say they manage to beat Shayna in the next HOH. Shayna goes next, and it's like, who is going to stop them?
You know? I'm literally so depressed just thinking about it. You like can't, don't put that out there. That's like, not what we want this season to be. Can you imagine just like the two of them just like march to the end, and like everybody, not like once they get to a certain point, these people are just like, oh, yeah, I want to go home. I've been wanting to go home like this whole time. So like, can you just like get me out first? And then it's just a question of like, which one of them like jumps into front of the train first. Like, I just feel like this seems, that would be very depressing.
Yeah, that's a very realistic possibility.
I know, that's the thing. It's like, it might happen too. It's not like, oh, that's so far-fetched. Of course not. It's like, no.
It's just, I really think it's the physical capabilities. I mean, Misha and Todrick are a decent amount younger than almost everyone else in the house left. And they're both very athletic. Obviously, Misha's incredibly athletic. So anything with a physical component is going to, they're going to have a massive advantage. They're also both, or at least Todrick certainly seems to be perfectly capable at quiz competitions. He almost won that veto. And that means that, and you know, then there's the crapshoots, right? So if they basically auto win anything physical, they're one of four people or two of four people total that can win a quiz comp. And they have like, they're one of, you know, five or six people that can win a crapshoot, or two of five or six people that can win a crapshoot. We've got a great chance to just run the table. I mean, it's not impossible. And if it happens, then I really hope that they take a hard look at the competitions that they're putting out there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Definitely. Oh boy.
Yeah. I can just imagine in like two cycles, like Todrick is HOH. And then like Todd is saying, okay, you know, next time when Misha's HOH, then, you know, or if he even cares, I swear, yeah, they just don't care. Just living life. And the fact that even Carson is part of conversation, like Carson and Cynthia, just because Carson won this veto, was able to save himself, good for him, yes. But it's like, if it's not, if they're not playing a competition, they're just cooking, they're baking, they're talking, they're chatting. Yeah. And it's like, okay. Then that's kind of where my head was when thinking about, you know, the stock watch, is that, you know, in the end, it's probably going to come down to just who do they like the best? Simply, mm-hmm. Who do they like the best? It could be Chris Kattan versus Misha. And they're Chris Kattan. He's so sweet. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah,
I'm voting for him.
Totally. I don't think they're going to care at all, like who mm-hmm. played the best game or anything like that. I think it's just going to be about like, who do I like? And so it's a dangerous, you would think, like any other situation, it'd be the smartest move to take like Chris Kattan to the end because he hasn't done anything. He wants to go home. Like he's, you know, whatever, just drag someone like that to the end. But in this situation, I think that might be the worst move you can make because people like him and they feel for him and they feel like they've developed friendships with him. And I don't think they're going to reward, you know, cutthroat, ruthless gameplay. And like, it's definitely depressing because that is not really Big Brother as we know it. So,
Yeah, that is the thing. Like, even if Todrick and Misha do run the table, I think they either have to be sitting next to each other in the final two, or maybe the only other person I could see them bringing to the final two is Todd and having a chance. Anybody else, I think, needs Lamar, Kattan, Carson, Cynthia. Right. Kirkpatrick, Shayna, I think they all beat either Todrick or Misha, no matter what they do in the game. But if they're next to Todd or each other, then I think they've got something. But that's a tricky spot to be.
I wonder if Adam Katz in the chat just mentioned how many of the exiting house guests will watch any episodes once out. I wonder if they should, like, I don't know if they already do this, but I wonder if they should mandate that they watch the episodes. I don't know. I feel like,
they're not going to,
but you would think like that.
Supervised, I'm feeling people like, are going to like orange style.
Yeah. Like, well, like people are going to go out and be like, yeah, I don't care. And then they're going to come back and be like, you baked a cake with me on day one. So I'm going to give the win to you.
What's going to happen is somebody like Teddy, it will be reaching out to them and being like, here's what's going on. This person made fun of you, so definitely vote for this person. And that's what
I could see that, definitely. And you know, something interesting I wanted to point out about the house guests this season is that like it seems like they're all very much playing in the present rather than thinking steps ahead of anybody. They're just like, well, we haven't played veto yet, so let's just not talk about it or think about it. And then once we like play veto, then we'll figure that out. Like we'll go from there. And then it's like veto gets played. It's like, okay, well, she's not gonna be on the block anymore. So let's not talk about it though. Let's just like wait and see what the HOH like does with this. And then it's like, it just seems like it's like most of the time there's a lot to discuss, to talk about. People are thinking steps ahead. They're thinking, you know, okay, well, but for next week, what do we do? And I feel like this season, it's like no one's really caring about thinking anything other than what is exactly happening in the current moment. And I think that's part of the reason why we're not getting a lot of strategy conversations, because it's just like, well, we're just going to see what happens. And nobody's really thinking anything other than what they've got going on right in front of them. So not much to discuss.
Here's an idea for that mandate. They put it in the contract that once you're evicted, you have to join a mandatory Zoom at the time of the show. And then they play the episode for them and they're sitting in front of the TV or in front of their laptop. And they have to at least hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's all just going to be based on, I mean, for sure, it's going to be based on how people made them feel, who they like, which is totally fine. Yeah, totally reward the person that you want to have the win and have the money. But it's like, I mean, I guess that's why it's only 3 weeks. It's fine.
I think we saw on both, pretty much both celebrity seasons, particularly the second one, the jurors came together outside of the house and they decided who they wanted to win. Collectively, right? And so the people that didn't watch just listened to the people that did. And the biggest, the biggest and most persuasive voices were the ones that kind of, you know, landed it, right? And so in the first season, a lot of people were very upset with Ross, and so they made that happen. And there were some dissenters there, but then in the second season, they were like, "Hey, Mar," and that was a funny season too, because like I was the whole season long, I was just like, "Man, Tamar's making the same mistake Ross did. They're gonna be so annoyed with her." She's got that charisma. She managed to get all of the jury. And I think that's because they came together and they were like, maybe the people that would have been upset with Tamar were kind of like, "Guys, come on." So I really do feel like, and I feel like people like Teddy and Carson, are going to be huge voices in a jury, assuming Carson is in the jury, when it comes to deciding a winner. And I said before, I think that's like key for Todrick, is that he needs Carson to balance out Teddy, because Teddy is going to be very anti-Todrick. I think that the biggest voices and the majority of this jury, they're not going to be focused on game, as we've said. They're just going to be like, who do we like more, collectively? And the Catans and the, you know, Lamars and the Mariahs of the world, they're just kind of going to go along.
And the tough part about that is, even knowing like, okay, this is Celebrity Big Brother, they know, okay, it's probably going to come down to a popularity contest. Who do people like the most? They don't even care about that. They're walking around complaining about everybody. "I'm tired of being fake. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of laughing at people I don't respect." It's like, okay, Kirkpatrick, why don't you respect the people that you don't respect? Why can't you just laugh at a dad joke? Come on, you're on that level. It's just like, they're just so tired of being there. They don't care. So then they're complaining about things. It's just like, that makes it miserable for us to watch. So it's just like the negative energy from most people that are still there is just like, it's exhausting. Of course we love Big Brother. So of course we're still watching. Of course we're going to see it through, but it's just, I don't know how they could fix this. I know it's probably already hard enough to cast celebrities and to get people to agree to be locked down for three weeks or 4 weeks or however long it is. And so it's just like, okay, if they're already having a hard enough time, how do they vet people that they're going to care to win, that somebody present day has a desire to at least win something? Because even with Lamar, his entire career is competition. And now he's out of the NBA. He's just like, "I did that, man. I'm good." So it's just like, what do you do?
That is weird. You know, Aman is in the chat and just brought up an interesting point as well that got me thinking, which he mentioned that he feels like the audience also was a factor in Tamar's win. That the audience was pressuring to vote for Tamar as well. And thinking about that and thinking about what the audience could, what impact the audience could have on this jury, certainly seems like very anti-Todrick, right? Like, does Todrick have any chance of winning if the audience maintains the current level of like vitriol that they hold against Todrick? Even if he's against Misha, I think that the audience perspective, the audience viewpoint may shift votes toward Misha over Todrick. Hannah and Kyland posted a video of them at Todrick's house, like cheering when the veto wasn't used because it meant he was safe. And people have been like on them about that. Mm-hmm. Like that's the level of you can't even dare to root for him, even if you're staying at his house and friends with him.
It's like I don't quite get it.
Devastatingly terrible he is. Like, don't even think about it. Like, imagine the pressure they'll put on jury members.
Yeah,
and, you know, things could get a little tense.
I really don't quite understand the hate for Todrick. I get that, like, you know, he's playing really hard, or like maybe because he wants to get Carson out. I don't really get it. I haven't really seen anything going on this season that makes me hate anybody. Like, I guess I am rooting for Shayna and Chris Kirkpatrick over the other two, just because like they're in my draft. So I guess like I have more incentive to root for them, but I think like the fact that they're playing so hard is great. I think we should want people to play that hard. So I really don't get it. And I think even before Todrick was in the house, I think there was some sort of like resentment towards him from the fans, which like I don't quite understand either. Maybe I'm not quite on top of everything. I don't know, but I haven't seen anything crazy happening in the house. I really don't know.
I mean, I think he's definitely the villain of the season. Personally, I don't see him as like a particularly bad villain. We've had way worse than Todrick. I don't think it's anywhere close. There are some controversies, as Amon is pointing out in the chat. But you know, it's so there were also some controversies with Teddy, but that's not stopping people from standing Teddy because of how hard she played in the first, you know, night. Feeds, right? So I don't know, but either way, you know, I think the point is that the audience will definitely have some impact here, or could have some impact over the ultimate decision of the jury, which could be interesting, could be a little scary.
Yeah, and I saw someone say that someone earlier in the chat said that we don't watch enough trash television because everything that we hate is everything that they love in other shows. And that I don't get me wrong. I am enjoying the episodes. I am entertained by the episodes. Like I said, put Chris Kattan in front of me and I will enjoy it. And I'm like, what was I missing? Well, obviously, I think I'm a little, I obviously didn't watch him on SNL. I feel that was before my time. But like the problem.
Okay.
No, wow. I think no.
Like obviously that was before my time.
Man,
you know,
man, AJ and I in here with all these older people.
Yeah, we just can't relate.
Just can't. I think you're probably like what, a year older?
I don't know. All I know is that I loved Chris Kattan on Saturday Night Live, and like he was huge in the 90s. I remember how big a star he was, you know, Night at the Roxbury, you know, Corky Romano, all that.
See, I was watching Barney in the 90s. But but
that
see,
I at one point. But the 90s is 10 years. So
it's a long period of time.
Yeah, true.
You could go from Barney to Chris Kattan easily.
Yeah.
True. I just think that if this were help, I'm stuck in a house. One of us is the last to survive. Maybe I would enjoy it, but this is Celebrity Big Brother. And because we have a precedent with these past two seasons of people actually, you know, caring, then that's why we feel a little bit differently about this time. Because, you know, with Beyond the Edge, I'm sure that's going to be different than Survivor. I'm sure it looks different. It's not labeled Celebrity Survivor. So obviously people are going to go in different expectations. But if this were called Help, I'm Stuck in a House, then maybe I would enjoy it.
That is something I thought about, the fact that they're, you know, they're naming it Edge of whatever. I don't know what they're naming it instead of Celebrity Survivor. And whether Big Brother should have considered the same thing, right? Like, would that make people more invested or more like approach the show with different expectations? Probably. But would it also like lose, like, I don't know how well this Celebrity Survivor show is going to perform, right? Because, it's not Survivor, which has all of the fans. And it feels like, especially with these shows, they've been running for over 20 years. Like they've got their fans, and there's not a whole lot of new fans. And so those are the people you're trying to get. I do get it for Survivor. They already have two seasons a year. So if they kind of muddied those waters with Celebrity Survivor as well, I feel like that would be a little worse. Big Brother, I think, is easier because you can have it, you know, on the opposite side of the year, and and it's the main Big Brother is still there in the summer, but it is interesting, and I wonder if you know, branding does have a significant impact.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
All right. Are we ready to rate these players?
I guess.
Yes, as ready as we can be, I think. I don't really know what I'm going to do still.
All right. Let's pull this up and see what we can do here. Let's see. So what we do with the Stockwatch, of course, is that we go through each player and we rate them from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best. They're playing as well as they conceivably could play, and 1 being the worst. They could not be playing worse. They are basically they basically have no chance to win the game. They're
interesting.
Doing
these are different descriptions than you normally use. So I am sensing the direction you're going to go with your ratings. Well, the best they can conceivably play, not like the best ever Dan Giesling level, like you normally say. This is the best that they can do as an individual. So, like, well, is Chris Kattan play as best as Chris Kattan can play?
That's honestly, true. I tend to look at three main factors, which is, you know, how well did they play in the period of time that we're rating? Like, did I agree with their decisions? Are they doing a good job with what they have in front of them? Then I look at, like, short-term safety. Are they an immediate target for this week or next week? Are they looking like they could go home soon? And then long-term viability in terms of, like, can they win this game? If they get to the end, how likely are they to ultimately take the crown? This Celebrity Edition, obviously, as I said, if we're rating them completely in line with how we might normally rate regular players, then I don't know that anyone would go above a 5. We may have slightly curved grading scales, but it's very individual. Melissa may have different criteria. Asia may have different criteria, different curves. And so we'll see where we go. I also did poll the audience, so the audience will get a voice here as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might make sense to do the audience one first for our first one, just so I can see what the audience has been thinking.
Yes. So for me, I will say, I think up front, I'm giving them like a little bit of a boost, than, you know, to just, mm-hmm. just so that, like, it's not everyone's like a 2 and a 3, right? Like,
that would be very boring.
I want to provide an upper limit because I do think there are players like Ross, and Tamar and Candy and Ariadna, like, I think there have been some pretty decent players on mm-hmm. Big Brother Celebrity. And those players, like if those players are going to get a 7 or an 8 or whatever, then I don't want to give, you know, Lamar a 6 or 7 where it's like, no. We gotta, within the celebrity realm. But I guess if we were like, what is the top level celebrity? Let's assume that's something like a 10. You know, that kind of shifts the scale down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps. So let's start with Carson, and I can give the audience rating here first if we want some level of scale.
Just so we can get a feel.
So out of 10, the audience decided to give Carson a 5. A 5 out of 10, which, you know, I think Carson is probably, you know, very well-liked. I think he's also, I think he has social skills. genuinely like a compliment in my head before I spoke it, and then I spoke it and I was like, that's a, an underhanded compliment. But he is charismatic. I do think that if he was hungrier for it, like if he was earlier in his career, he didn't have as much money, he didn't have as much fame, and he really cared to win this, I feel like he could be a force there. I do, though, think that his lack of ambition in this game is a huge limiting factor for Carson. I do, like I said, I think he has the pieces. He can even win competitions. He just doesn't have the thing driving him. Like, somebody needs to piss him off. Because Cynthia is also not into the game, but she at least is like, I got to get Misha out, though. Carson doesn't even have that, like, as much, right? He needs to be pissed off by somebody. And have a motivation to really get his head in the game, but he doesn't really have that at the moment, and so you know, that's definitely not great. Add on top of that, for me at least, Misha won this HOH, and she's pretty dead set on targeting Carson, and you're looking at some really not great things here. So for me, I would have given Carson something like a 4, but ultimately I have to go down to a 3 because it's looking like he's probably going to go home. The feeds are currently down for nominations, but I fully expect Carson to be up there. And if he doesn't win this veto, it's probably him that's leaving this cycle. And so it's got to be pretty low for me. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. I think generally, if he cared, he could be a pretty good player. He won the veto last week, or last cycle. And so you know, he's a competitor. He can win things. The only problem is that I think he would try to, like, if he gets nominated this round, I think he would obviously like try to win the veto. But I do think that if he didn't win the veto and it seemed like, I mean, if it was like him and Cynthia out there, I bet he'd just be like, oh, no, you stay. It's fine. I don't think there'd be any fight from him to be like, keep me, please. I'll stay. Like, I don't think he cares. Like, I think he'd be totally fine with just, you know, oh, well, I tried for the veto. It didn't happen. I'm going home. Everyone wants me out. Like, that's done. So I do think that, you know, if he cared more, he could be really good. But at this point, like, he's very, I totally understand the 5 that the audience gave him. And I would as well. But this is going to be a bad week for him, or a tough week for him. He's the main target, and that's never good. So unless he wins the veto, he's pretty much in a bad spot. So I'm going to give him a 4.
Yeah. So with Carson, it's difficult because yes, he's found himself in a position to be a target, but then yeah, he's also in that, you know, you have the top tier of people who don't want to be there. And then kind of like how you and Maggie explained it, Taryn, of like, you know, the A and the B and the J. So maybe, okay, let's say the first tier, the people that don't want to be there, where Carson is just a step above that, where it's just like, he's capable. So could he win veto? It's very possible. His competition is very, I mean, he's probably going to be competing against one or two other people who care to win. I will say I was very impressed that he was the only one to get the answers correct on his first try in the veto. So my hopes are kind of high for him going into this veto, if he does find himself on the block. So because of that, I do feel I was kind of battling between somewhere between a 4 and a 6 for him. only because I think that, you know, if he finds himself in a position of danger, he could win. But then, yeah, it comes down to at the end of the week, is he the one, is he walking around campaigning, trying to stay? Probably not. He's probably baking a cake. So because of that, I have to land at a 4 as well.
Yes. This is also interesting because normally we do these ratings after the veto has been played.
Yeah.
And we pretty much know what the final nominations are going to be and what the plan is for who's going to be evicted. At this point, we're doing them as the nominations are taking place right now. The veto has yet to be played. And that could, of course, change everything. On top of that, the next time we do these ratings, not only will Misha's HOH have eliminated somebody, somebody else will win an HOH and eliminate somebody, and then somebody new will win HOH, and then we'll do another. So an entire HOH reign will come and go before we reconvene, which will obviously also have impact on your shares once you get into purchasing these players. But definitely having some influence on the ratings. For me, this week with Carson, it's just like why hasn't he even thought about ratting Kirkpatrick out, especially given how Todrick is feeling about Kirkpatrick right now. If Carson gave him that ammunition, I think that Kirkpatrick would be the main target this weekend, not Carson. Easily save himself, but he hasn't even considered it yet. All right, let's move on to Chris Kattan. Let's talk about Mr. Chris Kattan. I'm not as low on Kattan as, you know, I think his gameplay could imply. I think that it does matter that, especially in a celebrity season that's shorter, he did ask to be evicted. Yes. Wait, I'm not done yet.
Oh my God. So bad.
He didn't force people to evict him like other quitters might have. So he's got just the right amount of quit in him.
God. Oh, God.
So that people don't want him out. And he's super likable.
So likable.
To the end, I do think he'd have a very good chance of winning. And so I do feel like that this is not like he's not the worst player in the world. Obviously he, as Julie said, doesn't always know like what house he's in. but like, you know, that's not the worst thing. I gave him a 3, which, you know, maybe you feel like that's too harsh or too generous. I'm not sure, but, I genuinely could see myself moving up on Kattan as the season goes on and it's looking more and more like it's possible that he could sneak his way into a final two and win. But I also don't think that anybody would be dumb enough to bring him to the final two, which I think is a big, big limit to his potential here. Asia, what do you think?
Yeah. So my ratings overall came down to likability, will to just be there and exist in the house. And then social skills. So it's like, when I think about Chris Kattan, he has such high likability. And then, like, even if you start to consider, you know, the closer he gets there, can he win? Absolutely, yes. And then I start to think about who's getting him out. Even if it's like they're thinking, oh, you know, if we're thinking, oh, they won't be dumb enough to take him because they know that he would win. But they're also thinking, oh, my gosh, I have Todrick right here. I could vote Todrick out. Why would I vote out Chris Kattan? Oh, my gosh, I have Misha right here. We could vote her, you know. So unless it's a situation that they're going back and forth with HOHs, I just think that I can see it. In 2 weeks, we're looking at Chris Kattan in the final four, and they're just like, we can't get him out. There are bigger targets who could win, and then I'm not in the final two because they're not going to bring me. They're going to – so I think it's just like, yes, he is Chris Kattan, and we understand that he is literally begging them to vote him out. And that's why I was really sad that we weren't going to be rating Mirai, because she wanted to be there so bad. She was trying. So it just didn't make sense. You know, just seeing her leave, that was very sad. But with Chris Kattan, y'all might think I'm a little high on him, but I had to take into consideration what I'm giving everyone else. So I'm going to give him a 5.
A 5.
Wow.
Here's my prediction on Chris Kattan. Chris Kattan will be evicted in like third, fourth, fifth place, whatever they do, right? Like, say like 3 people get eliminated at once. That's where he's getting evicted. I think he's making it there. And then the person who wins, which will not be him, is going to take somebody else to the final 2. Those are my thoughts. The audience gave Kattan a 2.
Ooh.
Much lower. Yeah. Melissa, where do you fall?
I fall with the audience. I give him a 2 as well. I think that that has the possibility of going up, but I do think that the fact that he has said multiple times he wants to go home, I just feel like I don't have any faith that he intends to make it to the end. I think he will ensure that he leaves. And the idea that, like, you know, Chris Kirkpatrick comes to him and is like, I want to save you, which normally, like, in any situation in Big Brother, that HOH comes to you and is like, I have a plan in place to save you. Like, I'd like to save you if this works out. You're like, okay, what do I do? And I feel like he just did not, no interest, no care, was like, and not only that, was just like, no, don't do that. I want to go home. Like, that's definitely not good. So I do think it also, I think this could have been an opportunity for him to like create an in with Chris Kirkpatrick maybe, and kind of like solidify a bond there. And instead he kind of just said, no, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. And I feel like Chris thought he was coming to him like as a savior type thing. Like, you should be grateful to me. And then when he didn't get that response, it was kind of like, okay, why am I doing this? So, I feel like he didn't quite say the right things during that conversation. And I mean, obviously his speech, like, I just feel like he will be an easy out for someone if they feel uncomfortable with like making a big move or going against someone and they want to kind of stay neutral. Like, I feel like they could just be like, well, Chris wants to go home. He even asked us. So let's just send him out the door. So he's a 2 for me.
All right. Well, let's move on to the other Chris Kirkpatrick. Let's talk about Kirkpatrick here. Asia, where do you fall on Chris Kirkpatrick?
So with Kirkpatrick, I honestly cannot say his name. I don't know why. It's the K and the P. Yeah. It is a tongue twister. So yeah, with him, I find it difficult to see a path for him to the end, with the fact that his arch nemesis is Todrick. And I think that I would be higher on him if he went through with his plan, but the fact that he didn't makes me feel like he's not as passionate as he was trying to come off while he was HOH. He's walking around the house now like he's the Grinch and just negative vibes everywhere. And I'm just like, I feel like that's going to get old to people in a couple of days. And it's going to be a situation where it's just like, look, we need to get him out because there's no need for him to be here. We know he's capable of winning HOHs. And I'm thinking this is like Misha and Todrick coming to this conclusion, because who else? And so I just find it very hard to see him making it further than like 2 more evictions. So because of that, I think, you know, it is kind of, I mean, for very different reasons, I'm going to go ahead and give him a 4. So I see him as the same as Carson, but for very different reasons, even though I guess it's because I could see Carson going home this week, but I could also see Kirkpatrick going home this week if, you know, Misha does find out that he was really pushing for Todrick to go home. So that's where I'm at.
All right. Melissa, what do you think?
It's tough because I do think that I don't think he's playing poorly. I think that his idea for the Todrick backdoor was a good idea. I think maybe talking about it prior to the veto being played might not have been the way to go. Although to be fair, I do think he mainly told Shayna and then Chris Kattan, and then Shayna kind of went around and told people. So I don't think necessarily he was like, I want to get this out there. People need to know, you know, or anything like that. But keeping it maybe closer to the vest might have been better. He was in a pretty good spot with with Misha and Todrick prior to them kind of finding out about this and this whole like tension that's built up. He was like kind of in a decent spot with a bunch of people and was doing well. And so this is, I mean, we just talked about how his HOH went really well. So this is kind of surprising that this is the way it's kind of turned out. So, I think going into this week, he's not in a great spot. Yes, it's just two people that are anti Chris Kirkpatrick, but at the same time, those happen to be the two like most athletic, best competitors in the house. So that's really not a good spot to be in. I think I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to give him a 5 because while he is kind of saying like, oh, I don't really care, whatever, I give up now. I don't think that's true. I think he actually does care. And I think he will try if given the chance. It doesn't seem like, it seems like even though Todrick and Misha kind of recognize that, you know, he's not really with them. I don't think he's their first target. I mean, or maybe he is for Todrick, but he's not the target for this week. So I do think he has the ability to kind of figure something out and get in a better spot going into the next cycle. So yeah, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him a 5.
Yes. All right. Well, the audience is a little bit higher on Kirkpatrick than both of you. The audience gave him a 6 for Kirkpatrick. I was much higher on Kirkpatrick before he woke up on Monday morning, deciding he wanted to target Todrick. I felt like for him, that was a terrible decision. That basically, you know, the whole point of the week was to take a shot at Todrick and Misha's numbers without, you know, cluing them into the fact that, that he wasn't really with them. And he was, you know, not doing the best job, right? I think that he should have just, the problem is that he needed to make it a personal grudge. But he couldn't make it a personal grudge because they couldn't talk about the personal grudge. And so he kept trying to make it a strategic thing, but anything strategic just fell completely flat because there's no actual logic behind it that works if he's loyal to Todrick and Misha. So that's where he was kind of faltering. I think he really just needed to hammer home the personal stuff and just even just like, Misha, you promised me. I begged you last week and you promised me that I could take out Mirai. I won this HOH. This has to be for me. Instead he just kept trying to be like, no, this makes sense for all of us. It's just the same as going after Carson. It's like, no, it's not. Yeah. So he was already kind of failing there, but I do think that, he still almost got away with it. Except I think he let his sort of like in the moment passion for Misha or anti Todrick or, you know, for making a big move or whatever it was. And he let that sort of convince him to go for a move that I don't think would have been great for his game. He would have still had between Mirai and Todrick, both of them were going to come for him because both of them were loyal to Misha. Todrick is more dangerous and more loyal to Misha, in my opinion, but he was supposed to be riding the middle. And so by starting to enact that plan, he has exposed himself. There's now that information out there. He could easily fall victim to that information. Additionally, he's ruined any goodwill that he had with Todrick and Misha because it wasn't just the act of going through with the plan. It's how he has treated them since then. He has not been able to hide his disdain for Todrick. He has not been able to hide the fact that he's not loyal to them anymore. And so he's not in that position anymore. Now, for Shayna, I thought this was a fantastic move. If Todrick had gone out, Shayna would be, dancing long. But for Chris Kirkpatrick, I did not think it was a good idea. The fact that he changed his mind doesn't change the fact that he shouldn't have done it in the first place and that he should be buttering them up as much as possible, especially since she is currently HOH. And if Carson wins this veto, I think he's in some serious trouble this week. All that said, I do still think he's one of the few people who's in the house who's actually playing the game. And he did have the instinct to try and keep two big forces targeting each other and try to rout the middle, which is a lot more than we can say for most people. So for me, I also went with a 5 overall. I do think that he still has a shot here to win this. He just needs to, probably not win HOH.
That's not going to happen for him.
Yeah.
He can't resist.
All right. Let's move on to Cynthia. Melissa, how do you feel about Cynthia?
I feel good about Cynthia. I think that the fact that her biggest ally is being targeted this week is not good for her. However, the fact that nobody seems to really be caring about her and they really only are looking at Carson as a threat is good for her. Although, she could get caught in the crossfire if Carson ends up saving himself this week. Maybe they're like, well, let's just take him out of the kneecaps or whatever it is and get out his biggest ally in Cynthia, maybe. But she does seem to be well liked in the house. And while she doesn't have a total desire to play, she at least has the desire to outlast Misha. So I guess that's a good sign. It's better than some of the others that we've seen. I don't really ever see her talk strategy. Maybe I'm just missing those conversations, but so far I haven't really seen it. I've seen it a little bit with Shayna, but mainly Shayna talking to Cynthia, not really Cynthia giving anything to Shayna. So I feel okay about her, but I don't really know what she's like in playing the game yet. I really don't know. So I'm going to give her a 4.
All right. The audience, a little bit higher on Cynthia than Melissa. They gave Cynthia a 5. They gave her a 5. Asia, what do you think?
Yeah, so Puya in the chat said a 9, and I'm going to act like I didn't see him say, I'm kidding. So I'm not as high on Cynthia, but I think it works out in her favor being paired with Carson, or that being her visible pair in the game, because once Carson's gone, who's looking at Cynthia like, oh, we got it. She's next, right? I think she's in a sweet spot where, yeah, her passion for the game is wanting Misha out. So that she wants to do something. The bar is on the floor, you guys, so the fact that, she does cook for people, she's pleasant to be around. I think that just that puts her above the people that are huge threats. But, she's in a position where I can't see a situation where she's going out as like the intended target. Maybe they want to get someone else out. And then it's just like, okay, by process of elimination, we put her up. But that lands me at a 5.
All right. Yes. So I'm at a similar place. I feel like Cynthia to me is like, take all of the good things I said about Catan and add on the fact that she does know what house she's in and she is a lot more social, right? I think that Cynthia is very likable. Nobody doesn't like Cynthia, and they all, I think, respect her to some degree. She is not really involved in any drama, and she has a good relationship with Carson. She had a good relationship with Teddy. She has a pretty good relationship with Shayna. And I think that if she were to get to the end, it's hard to find anybody that beats her, in my opinion. Maybe Carson. Or maybe Shayna, who knows? But I think she's in a great spot to get there. There aren't a lot of people that are actively targeting Cynthia. Misha would certainly love to take out Carson. And while if Carson won the veto, Cynthia would certainly be in danger, I do think that Kirkpatrick, is a very viable alternative to Cynthia. I think that Todrick will definitely be pushing hard to avoid taking out Cynthia this week if those are the options. And thus far, we've seen Misha kind of acquiesce to what Todrick wants. So I do think there's a pretty good chance she survives this week. I think that Cynthia is like Catan, somebody that is probably likely, I think, going to make it to that end bit, that final 5, whatever, right? I think that's probably her biggest hurdle is then, can she win that final comp or be taken to the end? I think both are kind of tall tasks at this moment. As long as, you know, it's something that she can win, I think she's in there with a decent shot. But if not, you know, that's where she might start to drop significantly. But I'm also at a 5 overall for Cynthia. I feel like there is some potential here, for her in the game. And, this is one that I think will maybe go down over time if things don't break her way, but things could break her way and she could start looking even better. But for now it's a 5. Let's talk about Lamar. Talk about Lamar. Lamar is in an interesting spot. The audience gave Lamar a 4, or sorry, a 3.
Oh.
Not quite a 4. They gave him a 3. So that's where they stand on Lamar. Asia, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was with you at first, and I was like, oh, a 3. I think Lamar is so likable. I'm so glad he did this, actually, because I keep up with Kardashians. So I have that perspective. I've kept up with the Kardashians for years now. So it's like, I've never gotten to see this side of Lamar, like truly this side of Lamar. And so I'm so glad to be able to get to know him a little bit better and see how pleasant he is. And all his Lamar-isms that we get to hear, he's just pleasant to watch on feeds. And so that aside, when I look at the game and his ability to win, and I can see a situation where if he ends up on the block, he's probably not fighting to stay. But is he against someone who they are tempted to vote out? Probably so. I think it's a very rare case of maybe he's up against, like, maybe Chris Kattan. I can see a situation where that could be a toss-up. But if he's up against a bigger threat, maybe even if he's up against Todd, they probably vote out Todd because they like Lamar more. So I just think that if he can squeeze his way, like his 6'10" self, if he could sneak his way to the end, I think it's a very real possibility that, you know, he's getting more votes than some people. So that leads me to a 4.
Yeah. A 4 is about where I landed with Lamar as well. He's yet another player who is not super invested in being there, but not dedicated enough to quitting that he's actually going to quit. At least so far, that, you know, he took another step this morning. So, he's also very likable. He has a great story. Anybody that comes off the show and watches any of the episodes, I think will be instantly endeared to him and his story. So I think getting there is the biggest difficulty again for Lamar. He's got to be able to win some comps, I think. And I think he is somebody that is capable of winning some, but I think he does have to get some and that's going to be tricky. And I also feel like he is somebody that, his name is just too consistently thrown out there as an easy pawn or target. Mm-hmm. That's why for me, it's, in comparison to somebody like Cynthia, I think he has a little bit, he has fewer connections and I think that, a little bit less like active gameplay. So a 4 for me. Melissa, what do you think?
I agree with what you guys are saying. I almost just fell out of my chair. so that would have been really embarrassing. I think I want to give him a 3. I feel like I haven't really seen enough gameplay from him. Only thing that's keeping him higher than a 2, I think, is his likability. And I think also the fact that Chris Kattan is like actively asking to go home, whereas Lamar, it seems like he's like mentioned that he's done what he needs to do or whatever, but he isn't like begging to be voted out and like, you know, asking people to, you know, I don't know, keep him on the block and take other people off like Chris has been doing. So, Lamar is a 3, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I really like that Lamar. He could easily, he gives me like, okay, I'm checked out. I'm over this. I'm done. Like, he could be that guy, but he continues to just be a chatterbox all across the house, just talking with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I love that he's just like, look, I'm here. I'm going to enjoy the experience, at least get some stories out, at least get to know some of these people. So I've enjoyed that about him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to Misha. Let's talk about Misha, the HOH queen going on here. Misha's interesting. She's definitely good at these competitions, or at least the ones that she's played, right? Like, she did lose the veto to Carson. She was in second place she had half the amount of time as like the next fastest person, but then Carson had half the amount of time as her. But if Carson's gone, that means that in a veto competition like that, she would beat them by half the amount of time it took them to win. She easily won the first HOH, and it seems as though she maybe narrowly beat, Todrick in this like taking off your clothes competition. I definitely would give her an edge to win a lot of competitions. However, she is a pretty massive target. Most people in the house would target Misha before Todrick if they were looking to target them. Kirkpatrick is kind of the only one that would not. And that's not great for Misha. They kind of, like, when I talked about, like, they, you know, Todrick and Misha could run the table, they kind of need to if she wants any hope of getting there, I think. And I do think she also will have some difficulty in the jury vote. Up against anybody other than Todrick or perhaps Todd, I think that she's going to struggle to win that game or that vote. So for me overall, I do think she is, she's up there. I gave her a 6 out of 10. That's where I stand on Misha. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think that there are certainly cons to her game, but I also think there are definitely pros. And I think also in this situation, this is very different than normal season. I feel like normally we'd be saying, like, look, she won 2 HOHs out of 3. Like, she's a huge threat and people are going to all want her out and blah, blah, blah. It's also like, I just feel like it's not the same sort of season. Like, where people are like, where we're like, you need to watch out about winning so many competitions. You really should have thrown it. Like, I don't really think that she needed to throw it because
no, she's already a target. She should.
Yeah. Like, people already think that she's a threat just because of who she is coming into it. They think she's an athlete. And so you already know that coming in, might as well win out, because at this point, you know, people are going to want you out regardless. So I do think that, you know, she's in a precarious spot, but at the same time, it does seem like she has a decent shot at like winning all of the competitions, or at least winning one comp each week. And that's really all you need to do. I could see her going pretty far. But I think you're right that if she slips up once, I think she's probably number one on the target list for a lot of people. So I would be pretty worried about her position. However, I do think that, you know, she's doing pretty well strategically, aside from the fact that she's a threat. But enough to give her a 6 in my book.
All right. Asia, what do you think?
So if this were ranking just like who I like the best, it would be a totally different ball game. You know, Lamar and Chris Kattan would be fighting for a 9 and a 10, you know. But with this, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due. Misha may not be the funnest to watch on feeds, just with the way that she talks to people sometimes is not so pleasant, or talks about certain things, but she is the HOH so far of CB, the Celebrity Big Brother US 3. Like, you know, we can't deny that. And so, even it felt like she still kind of felt like she was HOH while Kirkpatrick was HOH. But then I do see a situation where she's making it pretty far, because if they put her up with Todrick's going to implode. I just don't see a situation where he doesn't, because he cares so much. Like, it's going to freak him out that he's on the edge of going out. So I do like that Misha cares. So I am right in line with y'all, and I will give her a 6 as well.
All right. Well, it's going to be straight 6s for Misha. Everyone is in agreement on Misha. Let's move on and talk about Shayna. Let's talk about Shayna, and we will we'll start with you, Melissa. How do you feel about Shayna?
I feel good about Shayna. I think that she's one of the best players in the house at this point. I think she's got a good mind for the game, and I think that she, you know, made the right move this past week by not using the veto, even though it would have been fun and exciting. I think that it would have been really bad for her game just because she's really successfully right now riding the middle. And even though in her own mind, she's with Chris Kirkpatrick and not with Misha and Todrick, they don't really necessarily have any intention of targeting her right away. I mean, I think that they've talked about, well, I think Shayna might be getting in Chris Kirkpatrick's ear and blah, blah, blah. But like, there's no talk of like, we need to get Shayna out right now. At least not that I've seen. So, I do think that she's playing well. I'm a little worried for her because I do think like she could easily be found out, as, you know, kind of siding with Chris and knowing about this backdoor thing and kind of encouraging it. And if Chris gets out, that's concerning for her as well, because he's her number one. But it does seem like she has a good relationship with Cynthia and Carson, so that's good. I think she's doing a really good job. But, you know, we're going to have to see how that goes. Because if she loses an ally this week and then doesn't win next week, you know, it could keep just go downhill from here. I like her a lot. And I think that, I think I'm comfortable with giving her a 6 right now.
All right. Asia, what do you think?
Yeah, so I came into this honestly toying with a 6 and a 7 for Shayna, because being like with Kirkpatrick as her number one right now, he leaves. I can see her easily either pairing up with Carson and Cynthia if they're both still there, or pairing up with Misha and Todrick and kind of just running the game from there. I really liked what I saw from her in the very early in the game when Misha was HOH the first time. She was able to talk her way out of, you know, this formation situation. And I love that she cares. I love that she is thinking about the game and she is doing her best to strategize with what she's making do with what she has. Right. And I think she would even survive in a different season. Like if she were on season 1 or season 2, I think she would do really well. Like I think she would have had more to work with in terms of people who cared. So I'm the back and forth. I should just go with my gut. I'm going to go ahead and give her a 7.
All right. I feel similarly. As I said, if we're not giving the celebrity boost, then Shayna's probably my top rating, probably at something around a 5. I maybe would consider a 6, but I'd probably go with the 5. And that's because I do think that she has, especially in this house, she is demonstrating the most amount of just kind of common sense. She is good socially. She knows how to, again, she's got social skills. She can talk to both sides and not just like hunker in a room all day. And I think that she also, you know, I was not happy that she decided not to use the veto, because I do think that it would have been much better for her game if Chris had taken the shot at Todrick. But knowing or suspecting that this was actually Kirkpatrick that, you know, kind of turned around on the idea and that she didn't really have an option in that, kind of, you know, takes me off of her case on that one a little bit. But it does add more to the other criticism I have, which is that she is not able to push her own agenda as much as I would like to see, because I think her own agenda is a good one. She said to the cameras the day that they thought up this thing on Monday, she was like, hopefully this happens, because if not, I'm going to get picked off. And I do worry that that is her fate in this game, because if Misha takes out Carson or Kirkpatrick, yes, she'll be safe this week, but her numbers are going to dwindle and she doesn't have a lot of pull with the Todds and the Lamars, or even the Catans of the world. And that's not great for her as these numbers dwindle. Especially because I do think she's capable of winning competitions. As we saw, she won that veto, but you know, against the force of Todrick and Misha, you know, it's going to be dicey if she doesn't have a ton of numbers to back her up there. So, all that said, I also gave her a 7 for now. I'm going to, by the time next week comes around, two more people are going to be gone. And she's either going to solidify herself here or she's probably going to drop pretty hard. So we'll find out which.
Or be gone.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find out which it's going to be. So the audience agrees with us, Asia. The audience gave Shayna a 7. Nice. 7. I can also confirm that the feeds did come back from the nomination ceremony. And as we all expected, Carson and Cynthia have been nominated for eviction. So the next big thing to watch out for will be talking about the plans for the veto. What will they do if Carson wins the veto?
Now they just need to talk to each other and realize, oh wait, Todrick and Misha aren't aware of what Kirkpatrick was trying to do.
Yes.
That's it.
All right.
Didn't Todd already tell them?
He told Todd, from what it seems, you know, based on what Todrick has been saying, it just seems like Todd told Todrick that Kirkpatrick didn't trust him, not that he had a full plan to backdoor him. But
I think Todrick does not realize just how close he came to being the second person evicted from the show. And I think if he finds that out, he is not going to let it go down easy. That's where we are right now. So speaking of, let's talk about Todrick. Let's talk about Todrick. Asia, we'll start with you. How do you feel about Todrick?
Yeah. So whereas I feel like Lamar coming on here strengthened his image in my mind, Todrick has kind of done the opposite. I've been following Todrick since his early YouTube days when he was singing the McDonald's order and people were like, oh my gosh, this guy is so talented. And then he just took off and he just took off with all of his skills and talents and became the person we see today. So I think coming into this, especially having the cookout as, you know, his roommates right after Big Brother 23 and just his kindness and generosity extended to everybody, including Taryn, you know. And so it's like it's one of those situations where no matter how much intel someone has about Big Brother, until they step in there and put into action, you don't know what people are going to do. You don't know. You know what? How things are going to play out? And I mean, maybe pairing up with Misha was a great idea for Todrick. Obviously, it's panned out so far because Misha is the HOH. But I just feel like he could be playing a different game if Misha weren't in the picture. Maybe spreading his wings, not putting all of his eggs in this one basket. And because he's put his eggs in this one basket, it has made him overplay to the extent that people are calling him Frederick. And so it's just like, it's painful to watch. And I don't see it as a winning game. And so I'd just been toying with Todrick, and then just, you know, you hear people complain a lot on the feeds. And so it just kind of certain views you have of them tarnish a tad. I'm not saying I dislike Todrick. I'm just saying it's been something to see. So all that in consideration, I know people are probably would think this is weird that I'm equating Todrick to two other ratings that I gave, but I'm going to go ahead and give Todrick a 5.
5. All right. I mean, I have found it interesting. I feel like, you know, especially, you know, with the celebrities, people already have preconceived notions of them coming in. I was very kind of overwhelmed with the Teddy hate preseason.
Yeah.
And that immediately flipped. Like, everybody loves Teddy now. And I do feel like the Todrick hate right now, it's like yes, there's like some of that, you know, controversy stuff. Yes, he's kind of, you know, acting a certain way. But it's I don't feel like it's like, you know, this is not Frenchie level. This is not, you know, a Brett level kind of stuff. At least from my perspective, I think if Todrick was evicted Monday night, And then was like chill on social media. People would turn around and they'd be like, actually, that was kind of fun, Dr. Khan. Even though I didn't like him, right? Like people tend to mellow out. Like people hated Vanessa all season long, and now everybody loves Vanessa. Not to say that he's anywhere near that level, but like I feel like this is the kind of hate that wouldn't necessarily linger. Granted, it probably will, especially because he'll probably stay for a little while. All of that said, I do think that it's his social game that's really lacking. Not that he's not talking to people and playing the game actively, but that there's a vibe about Todrick that just kind of turns people off in the house. I think a lot of it has to do with the way that he talks about the game. There's like a desperation. It doesn't come off as like pure innocent passion, like mm-hmm. like a super fan of the game might come off as. It comes off as like I need this, and he says that I need this. I need this for my career. I need this money. I need this to go well. I need to be well liked on social media. That's my life. And at the same time, you know, talks about his house and his memorabilia, and that really throws people. Like you don't, like, there are people that come on the show who have nothing, they don't talk about how much they need it as often as Todrick does. And so I think that rubs people the wrong way quite a bit, especially in the house. And I think that even though he's in one of the better positions to potentially get to the end at this point, considering that Misha is a bigger target than him, I think his chances to win the game are pretty slim right now. He doesn't even have like he beasted the competitions to throw, to add to his resume, because Misha's better at that. He doesn't even have like he orchestrated a strategy, he manipulated, he puppet mastered the house, because that's not really the style of game that he is that he's doing. So all that he really has to hang his hat on if he gets to the end is like, yeah, I did it. I beat you. I was better than you. Which I don't think is going to be enough. He needs some kind of hook, and I don't know that he has one, and he's rubbing people the wrong way. So I gave him a 6 overall, which is lower than Shayna, around the same as Misha. And that's because I think he's more likely to get to the end, but less likely to win a jury vote than Misha. But I do think they're both in a pretty good spot right now to get far. Just because of the competitions and the way that the house is situated right now. But I am fascinated personally, by the Todrick effect at the moment. And I'm very curious to see how it all plays out. We'll go with the audience next as well. The audience is more with Asia on this one. The audience gave, Todrick a 5 out of 10. And, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you guys are saying. I think that it really depends how this whole, I mean, especially how this week plays out. I think that I do feel like he's taking a lot of the game like really personally, which maybe in a regular season might make sense. But it does seem like a lot of the time in the celebrity seasons, they kind of don't really take it personally, because this isn't their whole life. They kind of are just like, okay, yeah, well, we're just gonna like play, and like they usually end up leaving, you know, on fairly good terms, it seems, and there's really no like animosity, just because like they don't want that to be their image. And it does seem like the way that Todrick talks, especially about Chris Kirkpatrick right now, it's like, I hate this guy, I despise this guy. Outside of the house, I want my social media manager to block him before I get out there, so that way I don't have to look at him. It's like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. Like, this, it does seem a little much. But, you know, I guess it's good that he has passion for the game. Mm-hmm. But I am a little surprised, you know. Yeah, like you guys said, I went into this thinking like, oh, he's going to be good. He just spent like a whole summer with the cookout. They probably told him like, you know, what happened in the house and what it's like, and gave him advice probably. And like, yeah, and not only that, like, I mean, the fact that he knew who they were, it showed that he was a fan of the show. And like, I don't know, I just feel like I was expecting a lot more. But so far, I haven't really seen the, you know, the social aspect of the game and also like the social like manipulation. I haven't really seen that because I feel like he's not even, it's not even like, well, he's not able to get along with the people in the house, but he is able to like fake get along with them, like to manipulate them. Like, it's not even that. It's like, he just like can't fully connect with anyone and they don't really like him. So I feel like that's not a good sign, especially in a season where, number one, you know, most of the time they're voting for who they like. Number two, they're out influenced by people outside the house and they can watch the season and watch, you know, and like listen to what people are saying about it before they vote. They're not sequestered. So I do think like likability absolutely matters in this type of season. So I am a little concerned with him. And also the fact that Chris Kirkpatrick, who's on the other side of the house, who's like, you know, who's in charge, I guess, of the other side, seemingly, who knows at this point, but he has something against Todrick and not really against Misha. He likes Misha. He feels like he connects with her. He doesn't feel the same way about Todrick, so he has no issue getting Todrick out. And that's not, it's not good to be the person in the front as a target. You know, you don't want that. So, and also, like, I feel like if there is a situation where Misha and Todrick are put up together in the hopes of getting Misha out, Misha would likely win the veto, and then Todrick is like the second best option to, you know, can't handicap her. So I am a little concerned for him moving forward. I don't think that he's, you know, dead in the water or anything. I do think he has a shot, but we'll just have to see how it plays out. So at this point, I feel comfortable giving him a 5.
All right. I'm reading that Cynthia may be hinting to Todrick that Kirkpatrick and Shayna are not quite as on board with him as he might think. Hopefully that gets a little more concrete. We'll see. We'll see. Some intrigue.
Yeah. Cam in the chat earlier said that they thought that Todrick would be more fun. And that's exactly what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it, but that's exactly what it is that Todrick on social media is this fun presence. Like, you feel joy watching him perform and do his things. And I just haven't been feeling that joy with him in the house. I thought he was just going to be more of a, I just want everyone to have a good time. And even though he's saying that, he wants to keep the peace, the words that are coming out of his mouth and the tone and everything is totally not that. So that's what it is mm-hmm. for me.
He's playing the worm tongue game, which is not one that I think people enjoy, but he's playing the, like, he's not really manipulating anybody other than Misha, but he's using, like, he's in Misha's ear. He's like, he's the one behind Misha, like, whispering, like, you gotta get Carson out. And now he's gonna be like, you gotta get Kirkpatrick out. Yeah. And you know, nobody likes worm tongue. I mean, like, it can be effective though. So we'll see. All right. Let's talk about Todd. Let's talk about Todd, our final player here. The audience gave Todd a 3. 3 out of 10 for Todd. And I feel somewhat similarly. I do think, you know, Todd to me is maybe in the worst position of anybody, primarily because I do think, as I've referred to a few times, I think he's going to have a hard time winning a jury vote. He's not popular with the audience, so he's not going to get any kind of boost from the audience. In fact, the audience may campaign against him to some degree. He's not super popular in the house either. The people that have been evicted so far weren't huge fans of him. There are still people in the house that aren't huge fans of him. And he's also like not in the best position to make it to the end anyway. Like, you know, when you're choosing between Todd, Lamar and Catan and Cynthia for like who to take down to the end, if assuming Carson's gone for Cynthia, you know, Todd's not exactly your first choice. You know, Lamar, Tan, these are easier choices to make, to bring toward the end. And Todd is a little bit more threatening in the strategic sense, even though he's, I think, a little bit easier to beat. So unless I start hearing, you know, Todrick and Misha start talking about like, maybe Todd is somebody that we can beat in the end, I'm going to be pretty low on him, just on likability alone here. It's not a great spot. I'm not going to go too far down yet because, you know, I don't want to forecast a jury vote, you know, on day 14, even though they're only day, like, you know, 20 to 30 days or whatever. But I'm pretty low on Todd for now. So I also gave him a 3. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that he's generally like doing fine, but not really doing well. I don't know. I feel like he's doing enough to kind of, I guess, lay low. But I don't think that's enough. Especially like you said, you need to have that likability usually to like win at the end of this game. And I don't really see that. I also don't really see any sort of really care from him to win or move forward. And I think that I could kind of see him just kind of being like, well, just send me home. That's fine. And I don't think that's really a good sign. He doesn't really have any allies right now in terms of strategic allies. Maybe he has some friends, but that's like about it. So yeah, I think I have to give him a 3 as well. Could go up, but at this point it's a 3.
All right. Asia, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with y'all. That's literally what I walked in here with for Todd was a 3. It's tough because he's enjoyable for me to watch on the feeds because at least he's talking about something and not just sitting there. But it's hard because it's like he thinks he's having this fun joking back and forth with Kirkpatrick, but Kirkpatrick goes back to the back and is so annoyed with him for joking about cleaning and stuff. And as I'm like, oh, it's not going how you think. I think the only person he can really have good conversations with is Lamar. And so it's like Lamar has no power in this game. So it's just like he's going to be so easy to vote out and no one's going to be thinking, oh, but he's so likable. So I just think that it's only bound to happen that he's going to be a casualty in the next few cycles. So it's just like the writing's on the wall.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Well, that is the stock watch for the week. So how this works is that you can go to realitystockwatch.com and that is where you can choose to buy shares in whatever player you want. Now, if you go there, you sign in with however you want to sign in. There is there's usually some kind of forecast page where you can see what will happen to the price if their rating changes. If the player you buy, if you have shares in a player who is evicted either on Friday or on Monday, you lose all the money you put into that person. So be very careful about who you choose to buy. And we'll see where things stand next week. Now, there were some other questions on the survey that we can talk through here. The first one is that I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. And it's all fake money. All fake money. Don't worry about it. So rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. I'm going to quiz Melissa and Asia on the top player and the bottom player. Melissa, who do you think is the audience's favorite player?
Oh my God, I have no idea. Maybe Chris Kattan?
I'm going to go Carson.
Point for Asia. Carson is the number one player on the board. Who is the least favorite player of the audience?
Probably Todrick.
Oh. Yeah, I'll do Todrick.
Asia going for the smart play. She can't lose if she chooses the same answer. You're both wrong, though. Ooh. It's actually Todd.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
I was not expecting that.
So here's the ranking here. Carson, number one. Number two, Shayna.
I could see it.
Number three, Lamar.
I could see it.
Number four, Cynthia.
I can see it.
Yummy. Yeah, number one. Number five. Pan.
Well, see, I can see this because, but I thought
anybody can see it. It's just a list on my screen.
All I'm saying is that, like, I was trying to you know, outsmart the audience and vote for Chris Kattan, thinking that, like, okay, who have I seen being talked about the most on social media? Chris Kattan. Would he be my favorite? No. But I was trying to guess the audience. Instead, the audience ended up picking a lot of, you know, my favorites in the top. So that's, you know, it's really honestly smarter for the audience. They made the right pick.
All right. Well, after Kattan is Kirkpatrick, then Todrick, then Misha, then Todd.
Interesting. So,
yeah. Todrick, Misha, and Todd down at the bottom with Kirkpatrick just above them. And then there is a bit of a gap between Kirkpatrick and Kattan. To get into that top five. I also had the audience rate the episodes this week, and the audience gave the episodes a 6.2 out of 10. Not bad.
I'm a little higher on them. I think it's been good.
Yeah, I think I've been giving them pretty consistently sevens overall, and I think I would give Monday nights, I'd give it like an 8 or 9, honestly. Maybe a 9. It was very exciting. I would definitely at least go a 7 average over the course of the week. The audience feels a little differently. Rate the feeds this week, though. 4.4. Not great.
Yeah.
For a first week of feeds, that is devastatingly bad.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. It's like, it's boring, but also it's like a mystery because we don't know what happened. And so we're trying to piece it together, but like, that's not sufficient. Like, that doesn't hold our attention for that long if they're not even going to give us clues, like, as to what happened. If we're not even going to know, like, pieces or be given crumbs to like try and make a cookie, like, we're not going to care. So I feel like there's no strategy. There's no fun. There's barely any feeds because most of the time they're cutting in and out. And then the one time feeds are consistent is when everyone's sound asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. So,
yeah, I'd give feeds a 2 for the 2 minutes that my mom said. My mom texted me earlier and was like, the feeds are on for 2 minutes at a time and I cannot watch.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You're like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do think there are a couple of redeeming features from the feeds. One is the first night of feeds was pretty good. There was some drama that was going on. Second, Lamar pooped the bed.
Yes.
That's number 2.
Sorry.
I don't know. Was that good?
I don't know that we would have known without the
feeds. Right? True.
Number 3 was what I recapped this morning on the update, which is Kirkpatrick running around telling people about his Todrick plan, which was not only exciting, but also hilarious because of the way that he went about it. other than that, yeah, it's primarily a combination of the players and production, but I think it's mostly the cutting. It's so difficult. Rate the season as a whole so far. 6.0 average.
Yeah, that's about fair.
Yeah. If the episodes are like a 7 for me and the feeds are pretty bad, then I think a 6 is fine for now.
Yeah.
Rate the competitions this week. 5.7 out of 10, which I think is a little harsh, actually. I feel like the Monday veto I thought was actually pretty good. I mean, it's sponsored, whatever. I could have done without the trailer, but.
I love that we could play along.
Exactly. Yeah. The potato HOH I thought was actually pretty good for a crapshoot. I didn't mind the first HOH either, and it was really just that second or the first veto that Carson won that I thought was a bit of a dud.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I asked the audience to rate the Mon Juan twist. The
it says now, wow.
Mom. That audience gave it a 6.5 out of 10, the highest rating of any of these so far.
I think that one can only really work though at the very beginning of a season when you don't really have like a big giant alliance necessarily yet. And so it's like, or you don't have like set groups yet. So it's like, I feel like that would be an easy. We would probably hate this one because in a normal situation, like in midway through the season or something, because it would just give the power to whoever has the most, you know, the largest alliance or whatever. And the people who are in power could just easily be like, okay, yeah, and now we're going to get this target that no one really likes or whatever up on the block. Whoever's in the minority, okay, you're up on the block. Whereas this one, at least they did it first week. You've got, you know, all these various, you know, relationships that haven't fully solidified yet. So it ends up being a little bit like random who gets up. It's not totally random because obviously Todd didn't have very many connections. And so like he was more likely to go up, but it's not as bad as when you have like, you know, a giant alliance and they're after one person and then they're able to just easily be like, oh, okay, like let's backdoor this person.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked it because when Cynthia received the hat, I thought they were going to just give her all of the power to nominate whoever she wanted it. And mm-hmm. so I was like, oh, that's too powerful for some mm-hmm. random handing off the hat. But then when it was handing the hat back, I was like, okay, I like yeah. that. I like mm-hmm. that. And it's better than what I was thinking. So I felt I was a little bit higher on it.
Yeah, it reminded me of OTT with the Venom like shirts, the like spider shirts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was like they had to
infect each other. Yeah,
yeah. I think that that sort of thing for the first week is an interesting way to determine like what are the initial dynamics of the house. But I think that if they tried to pull this later on in the season, I would be upset.
Yeah, I thought as a first week twist because I don't want it any other week. It was flashy. But it lacked substance. Like it's not really ever going to change much. Mm-hmm. But I'm fine with that because the flashiness was fun and the process was fun. So, overall I'm okay with it.
Also the fact that we all need to like say Mon Juan or whatever, like over and over again. And that's like part of the lexicon now is very insane to me.
All like, right. Mon Juan. Mm-hmm. Next couple of ratings are for Teddy and Mirai as players overall. Now that they're out of the game, we saw very little of both of them, so I don't think there's like a lot here, but the audience gave Teddy a 4.8 overall, which I'm fine with. We saw her for one night. She also wasn't really specifically targeted for anything she did. It was more as like Carson won the veto and Carson would have been the target, and Mirai kind of like Misha kind of initially targeted her just out of the gate without her having really done anything wrong. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't really blame her much for her eviction here. But you know, we saw so little, so I'm okay with close to a 5. And then Mirai, they gave a 3.6, which I mean, this one's so difficult, like the mm-hmm. position that she was in being so much younger, and all the drama that occurred. I have no idea what I would rate Mirai because I think there are so many extenuating circumstances.
Right. And we don't even really know what happened. So we don't know if it was like drama that was like created by her or if it was drama that like, you know, that was targeted at her specifically, or if it was just like general drama. Like I have no idea what happened. And so it's hard to sit there and be like, well, she brought this on herself when like we have no idea. So I don't know.
And I know y'all got into it a little bit last night, but shout out to Sasha Joseph for explaining representation and then having to further defend it today on Twitter because of some rando.
Don't even get me started.
Back and forth. So just shout out to Queen Sasha for just being who she is and just being a great RHAP podcaster and silent podcaster.
Yes.
Yes. Next I had the audience rank the players in order of who they think Teddy and Mirai are most likely to vote for as jury members as of right now. And we'll quickly go through this as well because it's pretty early, but, basically the audience thinks, Teddy will vote for Carson, Cynthia, Shayna, pretty easy. Kirkpatrick, then Lamar, Catan, Todd, Misha, and Todrick at the very bottom, which I think is pretty accurate overall, I would say. Then Mirai, they think Catan number one, followed by Lamar. Then Carson, they have at number three, which I actually disagree with. Mirai and Carson didn't really have much of a relationship, and she knew that he wanted her out. And he was kind of on the other side of things. So I don't know that I would go there. In fact, I would go Misha and Todrick, which are next over Carson.
Yeah, I would as well.
And then they put Cynthia, Shayna, Todd, and Kirkpatrick at the very bottom, which I think is pretty close. I would actually say Todd at the very bottom below Kirkpatrick at this point, considering the relationship that they had by the time that she left. But definitely I would see, you know, those players at the bottom for Mirai.
Yep.
All right. Then, there's so many questions to ask because there were so many things. who was the best person for Misha to have targeted for her game during her first HOH? Who should she have been targeting in that first HOH? The majority of the audience agreed with the Teddy target. A lot of people said Carson. Obviously, she was targeting Carson, but she couldn't end up following through with it. They did agree with the initial targeting. And then the next closest person, Shayna with only 8% of the vote. And ultimately, considering Shayna's capability in the game, I actually feel like Shayna might have been the best target for her. Mm-hmm. But Shayna was willing to jump ship from the other side, so mm-hmm. I can see why she wouldn't have gone that way. Overall, I think she made the right call targeting Teddy and or Carson.
Yeah.
And then kind of same thing for Kirkpatrick. I think he made the right call targeting Mirai. The audience, though, with 43% of the vote, does think that Todrick was the better target for Kirkpatrick. I do disagree with that. But in second place and in third place with around 20% each, Mirai and Misha, they feel like would have been good targets. I don't think Misha would have been a good target for Kirkpatrick, though.
No, and I think that also, like, once the plan is set in motion, then, like, obviously Todrick should be the target. But I think that prior to the plan, I don't think that it made any sense. Like, I don't really know why that came up. We were all excited about it because it was, like, a big flashy move. But I don't think that from the get-go that was the right move for him. But I do think that once he lets that out there, then, like, you got to follow through with it. You got to do it. And the fact that he didn't, now Todrick has ammunition on him because, you know, obviously you're not going to work with somebody who was trying to get you out, literally trying to backdoor you. So I do think that puts him in a precarious position. So I think that after mentioning it, he should have been the target. But in the beginning, no, they were working together. Or at least they thought they were working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so hard to speculate because it's like, okay, was Mirai the right target? Because do we even know with what we don't know if Mirai would have targeted Kirkpatrick if she won?
I do think Mirai was loyal to Misha and Todrick at that point, which, you know, so he did take a number from them in a way, but you're right. I mean, who really knows? We never really got enough from Mirai. Final one for these questions, at least. Who is currently the best person for Misha to target with her current HOH? The majority does say Carson with 43% of the vote, which I agree with. I think Carson is a good target for her. But in second place with 25% of the vote, the audience says Kirkpatrick, which I disagree with.
I think he would go for her.
Targeting Kirkpatrick would be great for Todrick, not great for Misha. That would sour Kirkpatrick on Misha for jury reasons. And it would take out the one person who's willing to target Todrick over her and leave in everyone that's targeting her over Todrick. In my opinion, Misha should want out in probably this order, Carson, Shayna, Cynthia. Mm-hmm. Maybe then consider Kirkpatrick, but all three of those players are gunning hard for her specifically. So I would not want to go for Kirkpatrick there. 16% did say Shayna, and then 5% said Todrick, so. All right, 5%.
Yeah, it's just hard because I see how it's good for Misha to not go after Kirkpatrick because he's not going after her specifically. But then if she were to find out about Todrick, it's like she doesn't want to lose a number either because then she's thinking, okay, I don't have anyone in here who is my number one unless, you know, she went with the other option for the audience. If she went with Shayna, then Kirkpatrick has no one else but her. And so then that could be a situation, you know, if she would be fine losing Todrick. So I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say, like, she needs Todrick at this point.
Yes. All right. Well, final questions. Who do you want to be evicted next? I couldn't do the normal decide between the two nominees because we're not at the two nominees yet. And theoretically, anybody could go up with the veto. So I just listed everyone. And the majority of the audience, 39% of the audience wants Todrick out next.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Second place Todd, third place Kirkpatrick. Then I asked, who do you want to win HOH next? And 41% of the audience says Carson, even though he's probably the most likely person out next. I also thought it was interesting. I wondered if it was even worth asking both of these questions, because surely the audience would choose the person to win HOH that would accomplish the person that they want to be evicted next. But Carson is not targeting Todrick. He's targeting Misha. So they actually did end up a little bit different. Granted, you couldn't choose Misha in the thing because she's immune. Yeah, interesting stuff.
I want to see Chris Kattan as the next HOH. I just think that would be a lovely sight.
Kattan was third place with 14% of the vote, just behind Shayna.
Oh my God. I wonder how that would go.
Yeah. Just him alone saying on the episode, I think the HOH gets a lot of respect.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You're all right. Well, just about 2 hours in, so not 4 hours. We have gotten through it here for Celebrity Big Brother 3. Any final thoughts before we start to wrap up, Melissa? You know what? I'll read a little bit more about the rules here. Read as if I'm actually reading something. somebody was asking, when does the market close for the stock watch? And despite the fact that the pacing of this season is a little weird, you actually have, I believe, a little bit longer than you might normally have, because you have until Friday when the episode starts. That's the next eviction. So you'll have a little bit longer to make your purchases. But once you do, there's going to be an eviction Friday, and then an HOH, and then an eviction Monday, and then an HOH, and then we're going to rate the players. So a lot can change. A lot can change here. Before the next time you have a chance to sell these shares. So you can, of course, not buy anything, but nobody's going to win that way. Come on. Right. So that's what's going on there.
Tell yourself that during the regular season.
Yeah, you did pretty well by not doing anything.
There were a couple of weeks where not buying was an okay choice, but all right. Asia, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I know. I know we've been hard on this season so far, but it is nice getting a little taste of Big Brother, just a casual yeah. viewing of sorts, you know, just to prepare us for Big Brother Canada. I'm just glad to, you know, get some type of Big Brother on my screen. So I am enjoying the episodes, may not be in front of the feeds, but hey, that's why we have Taryn here to catch us up every morning. So Frantic love that. Head. Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like I enjoy Celebrity Big Brother because I do feel like you're right. It's like a little taste of Big Brother. It's nothing, you don't have to like dedicate your life to it. You know, it's just a little fun, just a little like good to get talking about it again and like seeing all the usual crew to talk about it. You know, that stuff is fun and I appreciate it. And so like, even though I'm not, you know, like necessarily like thrilled by the season, so far, I do feel like I'm not looking necessarily for that during Big Brother Celebrity. So it is fun to kind of just like have a casual like season of Big Brother and not the usual crazy, wild, you know, so much going on this season in terms of like what we have to do in terms of watching the feeds and stuff like that. So it is nice to kind of just get a little taste, have some fun before it really, really begins.
Yes. Well, I had fun with you two here night talking about this this nonsense of a celebrity season, and I hope everyone gets their pancake tonight. So that's what we have for you tonight on the round table. There will only be a couple more of these throughout the season, but it should be a good time. Tomorrow I will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens tonight on or happened today and will happen tonight on the Big Brother Celebrity live feeds. It seems like I'm still not sure if Cynthia fully ratted Kirkpatrick and Shayna out at this point. I'm guessing no, because I feel like I'd see more chatter about it. But also, I think the feeds have been cutting, so people may not know overall. But it still may happen at some point. And we'll have to figure out what the plans for renoms are going to be. And then later tomorrow, tomorrow night, I will be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episode live with all of you. And then after the episode, we will be live with Hannah Chadha discuss what we are seeing on the episode. So it should be a fun time. Make sure you also check out the Taryn Show. I did one with Asia last week, and this week should be dropping anytime now. I did one with Nicole Maines, who is Dreamer on Supergirl. Very, very fun. It's a great one, so make sure you check it out. You can also find some content over on YouTube, Taryn's Quest, talking about TV and books and such. So check all of that out. Asia, where can people find you?
Yeah, y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Right now, I am podcasting with the incredible Jason Reed about this show called Married at First Sight. You can find us on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed or the Married at First Sight feed. We're talking about season 14 right now that is airing. And then I also joined Grace and Amon over on Post Show Recaps to talk about the most recent episode of Euphoria. If y'all watch Euphoria, you know this was an episode you did not want to miss. So definitely go listen to us. LaTanya Starks was also there, so it was awesome podcasting with her. And then there's a podcast that should be dropping anytime now with Mary Kwiatkowski and Rob, where we are previewing a show that Mary and I will be covering for this upcoming season. So just keep a lookout for that. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Melissa, anything you're up to?
Well, I don't know if you've heard about it, but I was on the podcast Stuff 90s Shows Taught Me, where I talked about the Little Rascals. And I'm going to keep
on SNL
mentioning this over and over. It's my one thing to plug, so I'll plug it until I have something else. So, yeah, you can check out my Twitter for that. I like retweeted it, so if you're interested.
Yes, and you can find Melissa on Twitter at It's Melissa with three A's.
There we go.
On the screen right there. That's what we have for you. Thank you all for joining us here today, and we will see all of you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.